Welcome to Live and Love Your Brand, a podcast to support you in sharing your message and mission with the world. I'm your host, Emma Lovell. I'm lovely by name, lovely by nature. I'm a personal branding specialist with a mission to support female entrepreneurs to live and love their brand. I've been running my business, Lovely Communications, for more than 12 years, and I can hand on heart say that my success has come from the strength of my personal brand. I believe in the power of owning and sharing our story. I want to help you own your story, shop consistently, and really put yourself out there. So here on the podcast, you'll find helpful tips, practical exercises, and joyful discussions that will inspire you to reconnect with your brand and communicate it more effectively. I'll be joined by incredible experts to discuss how personal branding can have a huge impact on your business and on your life. I'd love to hear from you, so please make sure to connect over on social media. You can find me on Instagram, at lovelycomms, that's L-O-V-E-L-L-Y, double the L means double the life, Facebook, Lovely Communications, and you can join in the conversation in our lovely community, the Live and Love Your Brand Facebook group. Of course, make sure to come back weekly as each new episode drops. I can't wait to share with you how to gain clarity, build confidence, and increase connections, all by sharing your unique personal brand with the world. Lovely Communications is based on the Gold Coast and recognises Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the first peoples of this place, now known as Australia. We are grateful for the continuing care of the lands, waterways and skies where we work, live, listen, learn and play. From here on Yugambeh country and from wherever you are listening, we respect the elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to the podcast this week. I am so excited to introduce you to Jen Donovan, a global marketing strategist. I met Jen at a conference, Kate Toon's conference, last year after seeing her all over the internet, and it was amazing to connect the dots and to meet in person. She has a wealth of knowledge, so much to share. She's incredibly generous and supportive of people in business, and it was just wonderful to have this conversation with her. She's also one of Australia's sought-after speakers on all things marketing, with a big heart for helping rural and regional small businesses, as she's a regional girl herself. She's the founder of Social Media and Marketing Australia, the viral Facebook group Buy From a Bush Business, and an original co-founder of Australia's rural answer to Amazon, Spend With Us. Jen offers her clients strategic and creative marketing and is renowned for making small business simple, which just happens to be the name of her super successful podcast, which I'm going to be on very soon as well. Small Business Made Simple. Jen is no-nonsense, fluff-free marketer and someone you definitely want to know in business. I can't wait for you to hear the story from Jen about her journey and just get so much of her valuable wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's jump in with Jen Donovan. Welcome to the podcast, Jen Donovan.
Thank you for having me. I'm pretty excited to come and have a bit of a chat with you.
Yes. Well, I like to start off easy. So let's start with, who are you?
Who am I? And you think that's an easy question.
I just, icebreaker. Okay.
Yeah. So I am Jen Donovan, believe it or not. So I guess I'm lots of things. So in my work capacity, I'm a marketing strategist. So I like to help small business owners make marketing a priority. Like, so often people, marketing just becomes that sometime activity, or the when I get time activity, or even worse, when I've only got something to sell activity. So my job, my life's purpose, is to try and get you to be a little bit more strategic and a little bit more consistent with your marketing. Personally, I am a mum of three grown-up children. I don't know how I've got grown-up children when I'm clearly still 25 years old. It just doesn't seem possible. I live on a farm in the Riverina of New South Wales, and therefore I kind of deal a lot with rural and regional small businesses. Do have clients from the city, but yeah, predominantly it's rural and regional small businesses, which I think is really good. I love working with those types of businesses.
I love it. And because this is a podcast, we can't see, but you've got this
fabulous wall behind you, which spoke to my heart because it's totally on brand with your website. So bravo for being on brand. Obviously, well, not obviously, but I hope it's a color you like.
It is. It is. In fact, and I know this sounds really materialistic, but I know you can't see it listening to the podcast, but it's Tiffany blue. So my idea is that one day I would get rich enough that I can just go buy whatever I want from Tiffany's. I often look at those, you know, $300,000 diamond rings and I'm like, probably not, but maybe. You never know.
Well, they do.
So, yeah, it's my aspiration.
They did a paperclip, like Tiffany made a paperclip, and it was like a $5,000 paperclip, but people were like, it's a Tiffany paperclip. So maybe you start with a paperclip and work your way up to
a diamond ring. I think I'll just keep saving for a diamond ring. I don't think I need a paperclip.
All right, there you go. That's for the, maybe that's the other way around. You get the diamond ring and then you're like, well, I've just got so much money. I'll just buy a paperclip worth $5,000.
That's it.
I love it. Well, now I'm going to see that whenever I see your brand and be like, oh, Tiffany, that's lovely undertone. But tell us about your business. When did you start? I mean, I feel like you've been in business a while.
Yeah, look, surprisingly, funnily enough, I actually had, you know, like I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. But yesterday, you know how they bring up the memories? There was a memory that came up and it was like 13 years ago, I put a post up going, oh, I've just been accepted into a mastermind program, a marketing mastermind program. That was the start of who I am today. That was the start of when I fell in love with marketing. So I finished school, went and did law for property law for about 15, 16, 17 years, I think it was. And then as my story goes, my best friend and I had way too much wine to drink one night. We decided to throw in our corporate jobs and buy ourselves a retail store. So that is pretty much what we did. But it was there that I fell in love with marketing. I'd never had to do marketing when I was in law. You know, it was a bit of a boom in real estate. You couldn't keep up with the amount of conveyancing files that I had. So yeah, that was where I fell in love with marketing. We had that shop for 7 years. We sold it in 3 days.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I just decided that I had lots of knowledge around marketing and social media that I wanted to share with the world. So I started a business with my mentor that I'd had, and we traveled the country talking about marketing. And then that partnership kind of dissolved. I was away from home way too much, wanted to come home. And yeah, at the end of 2018, started my own marketing business. So I do workshops, one-to-one clients, keynote speaking, group coaching, that sort of thing, like not much unusual to anybody else out there who does what I do. But yeah, and of course I have a podcast as well. And I guess started my podcast to stand out. Like that was part of my, back in 2018, there was still a lot of podcasts out there, but there was a lot less.
Not the volume there is now. No.
And it was kind of like, there's one of me for every corner of Australia. How am I going to stand out? And so I decided to use my voice, you know, to help me stand out. So that podcast is nearly 5 years old now. So, and I'm still going.
Yeah, 200s or something, aren't you?
What episode are
you up to?
Almost 250. So,
wow.
Yeah, and I often think, when am I going to stop talking? When am I going to run out of things to say?
Well, then as well, you have guests. So when you keep meeting people as well, you know, then you talk to them, and that's, you know, that always sparks a different idea, and it's a different dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I guess I, you know, live, sleep, dream marketing all the time. I remember a couple of years ago, I was sitting on the couch with my daughter. It was over Christmas. We were watching mainstream TV. An ad came on and my daughter just turned to me after the ad and she goes, Mum, who's the target audience for that ad? That ad just didn't make sense. And it warmed my heart. I was like, oh, my God, I'm passing on wisdom around marketing.
Well, a lot of business owners don't know what a target audience is. So you're doing very well. Very well. That's so cool. And it is fun when these, you know, you don't realize how much they're absorbing being around you and taking interest so early. But it's wonderful. And the thing is, I find, I keep thinking, but everybody knows this by now. Like, because I come from a social media background, and like I sort of stopped teaching it, but, you know, I'm still in promotion. It's, you know, helping people put their brand out there. It's obviously a huge tool that we use now. So, but I go to talk to them, I'm like, oh, you know, just this. And they're like, what? How do you do that thing? And you're like, oh, I just thought everybody kind of got it. And even the people who are on it and doing it. And then when you speak to them, like, there is not like the strategy side of it or the planning side of whatever, there's still a lot of ad hocness going on.
Yeah, I think that's one of the problems with being a small business owner. No matter what industry or what you do, we really underestimate what we know that other people would like to know. We just seem to get in our own bubbles of like, everyone knows that, don't they? And then all of a sudden we have things like you're just saying where the penny drops. It's like, oh, not everyone knows that. Okay, that's a really good point. Okay, thanks for that, you know, wet fish slap across the face reminder that not everyone knows what you know. Yeah,
and it's all your audience. When we go back to that audience too. It's like, well, yeah, you could all easily sit there and go, well, everybody's doing social media marketing and everybody's talking about marketing. Well, woe is me. I'm not different anymore. So I love that you talk about using your voice because, I mean, you know, I mean, you and I mean, we met in person in October, but I think probably came into my sphere maybe only sort of seen you popping up in like maybe in the last 18 months, 2 years, probably through the podcast when I was joined the podcast group. But we've both been around for the same amount of time.
It's funny. You know, I guess that's the power of meeting face-to-face, of course. But yeah, that's the algorithm, isn't it? You don't get to get in front of everybody who you'd like to get in front of. So,
yeah. And that you get, but that, you know, the, also the good thing is that it's like not you're, there is an audience for you, like there is, and that it's not, I think the thing that I notice as well, is that people are aiming and you must have a wider net, you must cast the net wider than you need. But I think, you know, social media thinks, makes you think you need thousands and thousands upon thousands. When I would say average for a small business, your clients that you want, I know from the clients that I've worked with, they're looking for 4 to 8 people a month or 4 to 8 business clients a month. Like 4. Yeah.
I always laugh at those DMs I get on Instagram, but also on LinkedIn. You know, I can get you 100 quality leads a month. You know, what would that do to your business? I'm like, I'd be in the corner crying. Like, I couldn't handle 100 leads a month. Like, that's just ridiculous. You know, it's like, know your audience before you send out these ridiculous messages. That's not, I'm not an agency. It's not how I work.
Oh, also the fact that you're like, well, you know, you're underestimating the power of my ability to convert. You're like, if I get them on the phone, I convert everyone. It's like, yeah, maybe, okay, 100 people on an email list. Sure, that's a different story. But 100 phone calls. Don't even have time to field them, let alone service them. It's just being a bit realistic, isn't it, sometimes? And I think that the social media side, but knowing those numbers, like learning the 1 to 3 sort of percent conversion rate, I think that's really helpful because that we're talking, that's a conversion rate, not talking about a open rate or something like that, but it's like that really helped me to that reframe it and you go, okay, well, I guess if that many people saw it and that many people bought, I guess that was actually correct. And so then I do need to cast the net wider, but we're still not talking 100,000.
No, that's right. And like when, you know, sometimes a business owner will come to me and they'll want a marketing strategy, you know, help, want my help to work through creating a marketing strategy. But where we need to start is how much can you grow? Mm-hmm. Like, where are you in capacity right now? Because that determines your marketing strategy. If you can grow 50%, that's a much bigger marketing strategy than, you know, 20% or 10%. You know, I've only got 10% capacity, but I just want to get a different type of client to what I'm attracting now. So marketing strategy is just like everything else. It's not one size fits all. You really do have to look at your metrics and understand what you want it to do for you to get that return. But yes, people come and they're like, I just need a marketing strategy. But you need to go back to exactly what you're saying there. Have a look at your numbers. How much can you grow? How much do you want to grow? You know, what does it look like? For me, I have a couple of virtual assistants, but I have at this point in time, never say never, but I have no desire to build where I have employees. I'm happy to work for myself. I'm happy to work the hours that I'm working type of thing. Whereas if, you know, I wanted to grow, marketing would look very differently because then I have to start getting different clients in or, you know, more clients to service what I need to have the work for employees and everything like that. So yeah, it's a bit of a, you know what the end goal is, start with the end in mind type of thing and work backwards from there.
And what your goal is, I love that you've just said that, because like, what is your desire, not what you think, what you're being told you should be doing or what your business like yours should look like, because it depends on the season of life you're in as well. And whether that's, you know, where I'm at, where I've got a young child and I don't want to work more hours because I want the time with him, or whether it's because you're like, I've been working, running my business for 15 years. I don't want to hustle and push and grind. I'm quite happy to do this much work and get a very lovely income, and that's fine. Like, it depends on where your goals are at and what you want, not looking around at what everyone else is doing and what you should be doing. And yeah, what are you trying to create here? That's such an important point. And I think people that gets left out of the conversation. And even when you're asking people, I'm asking people, you know, what do you want from your business? What do you want from your life? And like, you know, you think, oh, you don't know about me. It's like, well, it's absolutely about you. You're the one who has to do it.
Yeah, I actually, you know, and I don't know whether I should admit this in a podcast or not, but I actually had a phone call the other day with somebody who I actually belong to a membership program with them and do quite a bit of work for them. And we were having a general conversation and she turned to me and she said, but what do you want? And because of, you know, without telling you, talking about the topic that we were talking about and all that sort of thing, I actually started crying because I was like, I don't think anyone's asked me that, like, you know, in that context. And I just started crying. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. But it was the question of what do you want? And just the overwhelm that came with that of I haven't been asked that, you know, in that particular circumstance. So, and I found that quite overwhelming and quite telling that, you know, clearly I needed to get a few things off my chest, or I needed to work on that in myself. So
and reassess. And I mean, the gift there is the power. There is the, like, the world is your oyster and you're in charge, so you can do whatever you want. But then the other thing is then you're going, oh, well, what do I do? I don't know what's best, and I want to do all the things or none of the things, or I don't know what are the things. But the nice thing is that you get to decide.
Yeah, it's a pretty powerful question to be asking yourself, for sure.
It's just, let's go super existential this morning, whenever you're listening. I would like to ask you about, you know, you said before about using your voice, which I love, and that you chose to use that as a way to stand out, because I think what I see in a lot of my clients and people I speak to is that they don't see themselves as the unique part. So like, how did that realization come about? You know, because it's so easy to be like, I'm just another business.
Yeah. Look, I think that I have been an avid podcast listener for a long time. So I think that influenced my decision, because obviously I could have chosen to go YouTube or, you know, do a whole heap of, you know, video content and that sort of thing. But I chose voice. And I think that's, I probably felt more comfortable with voice. So this is pre-pandemic, I guess. So the world probably looks a little bit different now. I often say that, you know, I was kind of like one of these trailblazers working from home in a home office before the pandemic.
We were cool.
It would be hard pressed, if I'm 100% honest with you, to tell you that I worked from home prior to the pandemic, and especially worked from home on my farm in my office type of thing. I really felt that that was holding me back and that people would judge that. So that was the pandemic's little tiny gift to me, was now I'm really proud to say I work from home. My home office is on our, you know, our family farm, and, you know, I can still take on the world, and, you know, there's no judgments around that. But so I think the voice thing was influenced because I loved podcasts. I love listening to podcasts. And to be honest, I'm still uncomfortable with showing up online. I don't like it. I talk a lot about human to human marketing and how you need to show up in your businesses. And I still 100% believe that. But it doesn't mean I have to like it. I know yes. that the one thing is that makes me unique is me. My business stands out because of my voice, the way I tell things, the way I explain things. No one does business like me because there's no one like me out there. And that's the same with everybody. There's no one like you who does business like you. And even though, you know, I show up online and I do videos and I have professional shoots done and I know the power of showing up, I still find it icky. I still don't love it. It's not the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning, whereas podcasting is. I love podcasting. I love talking. I often laugh that I like talking to myself. I don't really understand where that comes no, from.
I get it. You're speaking my love language.
But I also get to meet amazing people. Like I have people on my podcast. I get to come on amazing podcasts like this one. Like it's just, it's really powerful. And I suppose I didn't recognize that at the start. It just seemed like a really good option to stand out from a crowded marketplace.
I love it. Oh, you said some beautiful things in there. And I think that's the misconception, isn't it? That someone who is showing up online or you know, doing anything, even if you were speaking on stage, that you use, oh, well, look at them. It's all well and good for them. They just have the gift or they just are confident. And I'm constantly telling my clients, I'm like, when I do my photo shoots, even though I run photo shoots, you still get in front of the camera and you're like, oh, what do I do? What do I want to say? It's still uncomfortable, but it's important. So you push through it and it's practice and it's a muscle and you're flexing it. And, you know, but it doesn't mean, yes, like I think that's so great to say, like, doesn't mean you're going to love it and like it all the time. I do love putting my face out there, but I don't always feel like it. And it's not always, the easiest way to, it doesn't feel like easy, but you do it because, you know, it's powerful. And I do tell a bit of tough love. I say to my client, I'm sorry, but kind of get over yourself. How do you serve these people if you don't get over yourself and just do it?
Yeah, exactly. And tough love, you know, part of my story is some really tough love. I remember being in the mastermind program that I spoke about just at the start there. And one of the things we had to do was go live on Facebook during lunch. And I was sitting with my friend Sam and just basically saying, I can't do it. I don't want to go live. You know, I hate my face. I hate my voice. You know, I just don't know what to say, blah, blah, blah. And eventually Sam clearly got very annoyed with me. And he said, look, Jen, you look the same and sound the same to me right now as what you will online. So I just don't understand what your point is. And he made me cry that day. Maybe I'm a bit of a cry bear, but he made me cry. But he's so right. Like we do, like, and I think that's part of our problem is we think we look and sound differently to what we do to the rest of the world. And I know that's true in that I can listen to my podcast and I don't think it sounds like me because I think I hear my voice differently to how everybody else hears my voice. And I think the face thing or the showing up in video is the same. Like I'm no psychologist or anything like that, but I know you know, they talk about the mirror image and the way we look at ourselves in the mirror is actually the opposite to how other people are seeing us. So therefore, when we hold the phone up, it's like, well, that's not what I look like in the mirror. It's slightly different. So, but it is the way that people see you.
I don't know if you listen back. I listen back or I watch things back or read things back even and you go, that's quite brilliant, actually. if you're judging yourself, if it is a physical appearance and a self-esteem thing, like there's photos that I look back at and I know that I was probably having a bit of a rubbish day. And I'm like, what were you on, lady? Like I'm standing there. I have a picture. I know the picture. I was at Hong Kong Disneyland. I'm wearing short shorts. I'm like, that girl is smoking. What were you on about? Like I just remember feeling bloated and yuck and bleh and bleh. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, future Emma, like, just know future Emma's going to look back on this young thing rocking around doing a lot of things awesome, you know. So same with like your expertise and your knowledge, and if you listen back, you're actually like, oh, I know a thing or two actually. Actually quite knowledgeable. Yeah. Like you generally are 98% of the time people are surprised by how well they do as opposed to by, oh, I can't stand it. Like, again, you just have to push past that.
Yeah,
and, you know, I'm glad you listen.
Yeah, well, I have. Well, I, I've uploaded the wrong podcast a couple of times, so I've learned my lesson to listen to at least a couple of minutes of each one to make sure it's the right podcast. But I think for me, there's about 3 to 4 months between a good photo and a bad photo. So I had photos done last November. I'm just starting to use them now. I'm kind of like, okay, not as bad as I thought it was type of thing. It's a bit like a haircut. There's, you know, 2 weeks for a good haircut and a bad haircut for you to get used to them. Yeah. So for me, it's a couple of months when I get my photo shoot. There's a couple that I like and then there's a whole heap I don't. But eventually it's just like, well, yeah, okay. They're not as bad as I thought they were. I'll, you know, use them and move on.
It's a great point. And it's something I say to people that shoot. I'm like, just when you get the photos, there'll always be a couple that you're like, yeah. And then, you know, we get, give you quite a lot. And so then, and honestly, you really use, I'm sure you're saying, there's like 5 hero shots. There's 5 yeah. shots that you use to death. And then maybe like, yeah, like 6 months later, you go, oh, that one's actually could be used in this way. But when you get the photos back, they'll always be the ones that stand out. And you're always going to be more judgmental and harsh on yourself that first look. So I'm always like, just. Yeah. Be open, and yes, just know that in a month or two you'll revisit them and you'll see them with different eyes. And
yeah,
like don't just kind of go, oh, you know, we just be a little bit kind to ourselves. And as well, the worst comes to worst, go into the point of being in service, and it's like my audience needs to see me in order to know about me, in order to know that they can, I can help them. So yeah. I'm going to just put this photo up and get on with it. And I don't know about you, but I always find the bloopers are the ones that are the best ones anyway. Like you feel like you can say the most about them and you're like, I don't look great, but that's very funny and I can make a great point about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I suppose comparisonitis sort of comes into it a little bit as well with showing up, which I'm sure that, you know, you've spoken about quite a few times. But I often say to people, if you're comparing yourself to someone, you need to find out like what the difference in the journey is. So sometimes, you know, if you compare yourself, like myself, if I compare myself to someone like Amy Porterfield, who's about, you know, 6 or 7 years ahead in business, not that I want a business like hers, but I need to scroll back 6 or 7 years and see how she was showing up online way back then, because that's the comparison. Like where she is in business to where I am in business. So if you're comparing yourself to someone online today, but you're just new to business or you're just changing your branding or something like that, you need to go back and see what they were like when they were at your stage in business. And I can guarantee you it won't be near as polished as what they're showing up like right now. So yeah, just I think we compare ourselves, and even though we shouldn't, but if you do, you need to compare yourself with apples and apples. So go back and have a look at their Instagram, for instance, scroll back a couple of years and see what they were like back then.
Yeah. You know, I love that. I think, yeah, don't compare your day one with someone's day 100 or day 1,000 or day 10, 20,000, you know, like, or your episode one with somebody's episode 250. Like,
yeah, I never listened to my first episode. I get like, I know in the stats you see it, and like, you know, it gets like between 150 to 200 downloads every month. And I'm like, don't listen to that.
But they do. They want the first one, don't they? I heard an excellent tip yesterday, Jen. I'm going to share a video about it because it's so good. It was actually my online business manager gave it to me. She said, make yourself, so I've made myself a Spotify playlist of me as a podcast guest. So, yes. You know, because you can find all your episodes because obviously they're on your podcast. But then, you know, like even I've got, and I saw in yours too, you got this sort of as seen on or as heard on. But then, you know, you might do a link on your website, but then how do you just go, oh, here they are and quickly. And so Spotify playlist of all the times that you've been a guest. Mm. And it's just these little like, it's so right. cool. It was genius. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes. It just makes you, and you sort of go, oh, yeah. And it is such a powerful, it's such a powerful medium. And it's such a different role as well, isn't it, when you're the host to when you're the guest.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You may or may not have noticed with listening to this that I've managed to turn it away from me. Like the first 5 minutes, I was feeling very uncomfortable talking about me. And I'm like, oh, I've managed to trick Emma into talking about something else other than me.
No, we got you back. I was going to say thank you very much for what you've shared today. You've shared some really beautiful insights and vulnerability. And like, I want to come back to that. Like, I want to call the episode, like, I don't like showing up, because I don't think you have to. And it's like, you don't have to like marketing, but you got to do it.
Really? Yeah, you do. Oh my goodness. You just broke my heart. Oh, don't like marketing.
I do, because I'm in the same space, but they don't have to. But even as a, you know, I will say, like, you know, you've been vulnerable, I'll be vulnerable. When I the first 10 years of my business, I did the whole referral thing. I did the word of mouth thing. But the reason my business was strong was because of my personal brand. And because I was out there, but I was not consistent in terms of talking about my services and how I served people and how I communicated to the audience. But I was always out there doing things and showing up and sharing what I was up to, so that people, I was always front of mind, even if they didn't have a hell of an idea what I was doing, like how I could actually serve them. So then it was like that 10-year mark, like, oh yeah, if I, like, I've got to consistently talk to my audience and tell them what I offer and how I serve them and build that, and then it won't be so much of this feast or famine and relying upon word of mouth. So you know, can dish it, but I didn't necessarily take it. So
it's great insights. I think that's, you know, a really good lesson. Well,
and that we can, you know, that, I don't know, you're probably the same, we don't sit here on our ivory towers. Like, we're doing that, we're not gonna tell people to do things that we're not doing. Like, I'm often you know, in a in a coaching session and then going, like, I'm actually looking at the camera at myself, I'm not looking at you, I'm telling this because, as we, you know, we're business owners too. We've got to practice what we preach.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We get, we'll get sprung very quickly if we don't.
Well, I wish I had another half an hour to, like, really crack this nut, but I'm going to have to shut us off. Tell me, what are you working on at the moment? I think you're working on something a bit exciting.
Yeah, I am. I'm actually working on a book. So I've often thought there was a book inside me. I didn't think it was going to be a marketing book, but surprise, surprise, I'm writing a marketing book at the moment. Hopefully I will have the first draft done very soon, but I suspect every other human might get to see it by the end of 2023. So we'll have to see. But it's been an epic effort and journey, and I can't wait to share more about that. But it's going to be a really cool marketing book. It does have, you know, again, how do you stand out from the crowd, like, you know, with podcasts. So I was like, how, there's so many marketing books out there, how is mine going to be different? So there's actually not many marketing books out there focused towards rural and regional and remote small businesses, like how to promote your business when you live outside the capital cities. It's not too different, but it is a little bit different. So it that's my take on my marketing book, is, you know, basically how to market your business, you know, in country Australia. So I'm not sure of the working title just yet. I'm kind of working through that at the moment. But yeah, thank you for letting me mention it. It's going to be pretty cool. It's something I'm going to be very proud of, I'm sure.
Absolutely huge. I can't wait to get my hands on one. Tell us, and I hope you'll do an audio book.
How could I not?
I know. That's like, I'm more excited about writing a book to do the audiobook than maybe I should just read something out and then they can, like, do the transcript and that will be the book. Reverse engineer the book.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. But 80,000 words in, I'm not going to change my mind.
No. Okay, that's the second book. There we go. How to read a book to write it. Anyway, there we go. Business people getting ideas. How do we get into contact with you, Jen?
Well, I'd love, you know, being a podcast listener, I'd love you to come and have a listen to the Small Business Made Simple podcast. Otherwise, I hang out on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm a bit of a closet LinkedIn lover. That's probably my favorite platform. But I do hang out on the other platforms as well. So drop me a DM, drop me a message. I would love to hear from you.
So lovely to get you on here and get to speak to you, and congrats on such a milestone, 5 years in podcasting. I know what that takes, so bravo. And thank you for coming to speak with me and all of us today and for opening up.
Oh, no problem. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Live and Love Your Brand. I'm so grateful that you've shared your time by listening today. That means so much to me. And if you're loving what you're learning, I would be so appreciative if you'd leave a review, rate this podcast, and subscribe. It really shows me that you care, but it also helps other listeners to find us too. Again, please be sure to connect with me. I love hearing from you and getting to know your story. You can connect with me on Instagram at @lovelycomms, Facebook, Lovely Communications, and please do join the gorgeous community, Live and Love Your Brand, our Facebook group. Or if you're ready to take action now and want to improve how you show up in the world with your brand, then head on over to lovelycommunications.com. Again, lovely is L-O-V-E-L-L-Y, communications.com, to learn how you can work with me. My clients have gone on to experience opportunities that they could never have dreamed of. From starting businesses to taking leadership in their own life, they have found the confidence to stand in who they are and to go wholeheartedly after what they truly want in life. And I want that for you too. If you're ready to invest in yourself and reconnect with who you are, then let's chat. Thank you again for listening. Now go into the world and share the beauty that is the uniqueness of you. Catch you next week, lovely.